whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here.
What you laughing
about?
Was
my last name again? I'm laughing at something you put in the rundown.
Oh.
So we'll get
good,
to it in a second.
I don't remember.
We'll get to it in a second. I just glanced down at it. You can text the show, 713-572-4610.
I do, just for the listeners, I genuinely asked Sean many times, like, did I write that? I'm like, yeah, you did. I'm like, I don't know, man.
It's really good.
I just, okay, cool. I'll take credit for it. I have no memory of it.
Yeah. You were on one, man. You were good.
Not because I was drunk. I just kind of get into that mode where I'm just brainstorming. Yeah.
Hell yeah. CJ Stroud. So, what level of game? I was listening to the guys on the drive yesterday, and they were talking about, I think the question Ron asked was, where is the area where the Texans might have the biggest advantage in this game? And I don't think Clint answered, like, where they have the biggest advantage, but what Clint said was he thought the biggest thing that they needed in this game was to get a big game. Like, the old CJ needs to show up for this game.
Yeah.
I don't know that the A-plus level CJ needs to show up for this game. I just know that the version of CJ that we've seen all too often this year can't show up
for
this
game. You know, it's interesting because for both these quarterbacks, well, Herbert's had a much better year, obviously, but there's an element of being a young quarterback that's got prodigious physical skills where you do also have to learn when to be a game manager. And I made the mistake of using the game management term in a YouTube video, to which... As I was explaining that Justin Herbert is much more than just a game manager, but that was the greatest insult ever.
You should have just done a video on politics.
You can't
You'd have been better off.
You can't use the word. It just triggers people so quickly that they stop thinking about it. No, but part of the transition of going from a young quarterback to a genuine veteran is understanding when and where to be a game manager. And that's been something that CJ's been dealing with this season is figuring out when to take the easy money versus when to push the ball downfield. And I think he's made progress at it. And that's where, precisely with what something you said earlier in the show is, like a good game for CJ in this game might be 205 yards passing and with no interceptions.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be a prolific performance. It needs to be part of a complete team performance. So CJ all season long has made some really, really impressive throws. But it's just, okay, but when do you make the simple throw? When do you make the easy throw?
Yep, and he's tried to get better and better at that. Here was Nick Caserio. On Wednesday with us this week when we asked him, is C.J. Stroud a better quarterback now than he was this time last season?
I'm sure you could talk to him about it, but C.J.'s had a really good year. So he's done a really nice job. I think his overall grasp and understanding of what we're doing offensively, and I think he made a comment in the two or three games ago, whatever it was after the game, that he's seen it better than he has. He's seen it better right now than he has it earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. Look, this position, it's the hardest position in all of sports. Like, I'll argue that with anybody on any level. It's the hardest thing that you do. Things happen quick. You're going to have to deal with things. When you play, people have an opportunity to evaluate, what do you do well? You know, what are your weaknesses? What are some of the things that maybe if we force him to do this? So part of growth and development is having an understanding of not only what you're doing offensively on your side of the ball, but having an understanding of what they're doing on the other side of the ball. So CJ has done a great job. He's had a good attitude. He's had a good approach. And he's been very open and honest and about where he is and maybe some of the things that he's had to deal with. But I've talked about this. D'Amico's talked about this. There's no other player that we'd rather have playing quarterback in CJ Stroud for this football team, and he's played a lot of good football, and you know, hopefully he can continue that moving forward into the playoffs.
And I think that kind of everything that Nick was saying there, I think the hard part to figure out with quarterbacks is always, all right, how much are his surroundings the cause of it versus how much should he be better at dealing with those adverse circumstances and everything else? And it's been really, really hard because in some respects, this year there have been times where, okay, he's a second-year quarterback, and he's made second-year quarterback mistakes or, you know, had some of those same issues. But at the same time, he's also trying to deal with all that while he's getting pressured more than anybody else in the league.
Off the middle, too, which is the hardest.
The level of difficulty is really tough. It's like doing a math test in 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And everybody's a worse mathematician in 5 minutes than they are in 10.
It's a good way to put it.
So it's just really hard to figure it out. But if you, I went through this yesterday, I was kind of like, okay, if you focus on your strengths of the team, and even over these last few weeks, where Bobby Slowick, you know, said they figured some things out offensively the last 3 weeks. Like, all right, well, you haven't scored points in the last
right,
3 weeks.
Right.
I'd like that to go. But, all right, what have they done well in the last 3 weeks that maybe they couldn't lean into before, and then they lean harder into that? Hopefully with CJ, and maybe CJ's relationship with Deontay in practice,
mm-hmm.
Deontay Johnson, because now he's had a couple weeks in practice,
yeah.
that they can lean into that. And it's one game. You can throw every wrinkle in there and everything else to get the absolute best version of CJ.
Here was Jim Harbaugh earlier this week when he was asked about CJ Stroud.
You know, from the moment, watching him on tape, you know, as a high school player, I was like, wow. You know, it really intrigued. And then flew out to Los Angeles, got in a rental car, and drove up to Rancho Cucamonga. And just watching him play in person, you know, from the side. And then I started watching him from the end zone. I'm like, this guy's the real deal. I mean, he's going to go all the way. And, yeah, wish we would have got him. But to come to our school, but he's a great player. You know, just there's all the talent is there. I mean, he's got the courage. So many times I've seen, like, you know, a defender coming right at him, and he just stands in there, you know, lets him get close enough, almost knows they're going to hit him, and then he's able to, you know, get the ball up over him, around him, and we're talking 16, 18 yard in breaking dig routes or routes to the sideline, and he's a great guy and tremendous competitor.
So I'm not gonna just sit here and let him insult CJ like that over and over again. Joking, he was like, it was a over the top gushing praise for CJ.
Yeah,
Stroud.
Yeah.
A quick note on Jim Harbaugh, because I watched that press conference.
Yeah,
it's for the people out there that are working on their presentation skills and everything. Everybody knows that speaking with your hands is good and everything, unless you're somebody that is, unless you're a Facebook guy there.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. Oh. He's been coached to talk with his hands. But
oh, and you can tell.
No, what Harbaugh does that he takes to the next level is he pantomimes the story that he's doing.
Oh,
so like when he's talking about driving to Rancho Cucamonga, he's making the steering wheel motion.
Yeah, man.
And then when he's talking about, there was a point where he's talking about CJ and Justin Herbert, where he's actually doing the body positioning of a quarterback and everything. Yeah. Very,
good advice.
Very engaging. But everything he said about CJ, and I think the courage part of it, that's another thing that with young quarterbacks, it's great. When to be courageous and when is discretion the better part of valor? That's something that CJ's had to learn this year, is, all right, when do I really try to jam it in there? When do I try to make a throw from a muddy pocket? And when do I leave the pocket? And because of the pass protection, that's where it felt like CJ took a step backwards in some regards in the pocket presence element of things, because of that cumulative abuse that he took throughout the season.
Yeah.
He started to do stuff where he took sacks that he wouldn't have taken in the past. He's bailing out backwards out of the pocket instead of stepping up.
Yes. He's taking bad sacks.
Yeah, and there was one play in the game last week where he stepped up in the pocket, but it was because he started to bail out backwards, but then the guy that Titus was blocking chose to go outside, you know, and it forced CJ back up into the pocket, and he ended up making a nice throw. You know, yeah, that's like almost by, it was almost like there were guardrails that pushed him back up into the proper spot in the pocket.
Yeah.
Versus the Tennessee game a couple weeks prior, he took a safety stepping out the back of the pocket.
Right,
you know,
right.
And that was a dicier situation, but that's the stuff that, man, if some of that can kind of come to him, that poise that he had before he got hit as many times as he did this year, second most sacks in the league,
yeah,
that's the part that it's got to come with improved pass protection as well.
One of the simplest things about where CJ is right now that I think we need to be reminded of is something you sent to me yesterday, a graphic. I had seen it on social media. Someone posted it on Reddit, and you'd seen it on Reddit. He's the youngest quarterback in this postseason.
Yeah.
And this is a postseason that includes two rookie quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, who are both 24 years old.
Yeah.
Like that, CJ's 23 years old, and he's not an old 23 either. Like, he turned 23 like in week 4 of the season.
Yeah.
He came into the season 22 years old. So like that's where for like the long term prospects with CJ, like in my mind, I've got to tamp back a little bit. Like, all right, he's 23.
I think that's where, you know, we've had this discussion about the NBA and with guys like Jalen Green. There is that's where you got to tamp down some of your wannabe old school tendencies, or at least I do, where you want to be like, it doesn't matter, he's a professional. You got to kind of remember that, yeah, okay, no, age does matter. Like, guys' brains aren't fully developed until you're 23, 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
There's a maturity aspect there. I'm not saying that people are immature when they're that age, but it's just a matter of, you got to grow into some of these things, and that he is very, very young. That was the first time I ever thought about this was I was talking to a restaurant manager a long time ago, and he was telling me about something that a couple of his employees had done, like, was just pretty jackass, just jackass stuff. And I was like, why did you fire him on the spot? And he's like, no, man, when you're in this business, you're dealing with a lot of kids this is their first job ever. And there's some things that they just don't know.
And hiring people sucks.
Yeah. And it's costly. It's costly.
It's time consuming. It's easier if it's not super bad stuff.
Yeah.
And this, you're right. This applies to everything. If it's not any employee, if it's not that bad, if it's fixable, it's much less costly and time consuming to fix it than it is to replace it.
And this guy was a grumpy old guy, like in a lot of ways. He was a Vietnam vet and everything. Like he was an old grizzly dude. But when it came to understanding that, man, sometimes simply youth and inexperience is something that's just, it's going to happen and you work your way through it. And I think that's echoed in the things that Casario and D'Amico have said when talking about CJ. And I'm not saying that like CJ has been an immature quarterback or anything, but it's a reminder that, man, it's a development process.
Yeah.
He's going to be a better quarterback 3 years from now than he is right now.
Yes.
There's some quarterbacks where you're not so certain about that.
Yeah.
You know, young guys, I'd say a young Baker Mayfield, I wasn't convinced that he was going to be a better quarterback 3 years later.
Good example,
Whereas CJ, I don't worry about that. I think he's going to make a steady progression.
I do too, and he puts in the work to do it, all those things. I saw a tweet, Texans Jacob on Twitter. 4 of the last 5 games for CJ Stroud have been his highest graded games of the year. Now, one of them's week 18 where he had one drive, but the Kansas City game, the Miami game, that was a game where they had under 200 yards of offense, but okay, CJ was all right in that game.
What was that? Yeah, you'd isolate the quarterback performance from everything else out on the field.
Yep. Week 13 against Jacksonville. Those 4 games were 4 of his best games. He's got an overall grade on PFF of nearly 90 in those games, which is really, really good. A 6-2 touchdown to interception ratio. The Ravens game is obviously, you're doing a whole take out your lowest grade thing.
Yeah, I'm trying right this moment emotionally to make every excuse for the Ravens game.
Yeah, like they're an alien. That's what I say. Yeah, that's my excuse. But as far as the rest that you do take that game out, does, from your recall on this, does that match the eye test?
I think that a lot of it goes back to what we've talked about is just understanding and learning how to manage the game.
Yeah.
Like the whole, it is what it is. The circumstances are what they are. I think he's done a much better job of checking down more quickly. Even that, the misfire in the Ravens game to Dalton Schultz, where he was getting hit by the guy that was on Laremy Tunsil as he was, or Laremy's, was it Laremy's foot that hit CJ's foot, whatever it was, where he, Schultz was wide open in the flat.
Yep. I think it was one, Laremy.
Like, okay, you could argue that maybe he should have checked down a little bit earlier, but when you go back and watch that, it's just the pocket was compressed so quickly, and there were routes developing downfield. The pocket wasn't collapsed so quickly, but it was collapsed uniformly to where it was a phone booth.
Yeah.
And then he's getting hit as he's throwing the ball, but he still was making the right decision there. Checking the ball to Joe Mixon last week. Like these kinds of things, I think he's done a better job of. I would say I think the Kansas City game up till the Tank Dell, and even after the Tank Dell injury, CJ was playing really well. It's just that CJ made the game losing mistakes on that final red zone push.
Oh, that was a bad sack.
It was a bad sack, and it was also a bad, what did he do? There was another bad play. Oh, the delay of game, which is that on Bobby? Is that on CJ? I don't know, but it was like there were quarterback-related issues down at the end of that drive that kind of undid some of the good things he'd done earlier in the game.
We're not going to do it right now. We'll do it in a few minutes. Are you ready to do the Circle of Swarm this week?
Oh, no, I completely forgot about it.
Okay, well, that's...
I'm not ready.
How about we listen to some Will Anderson, and in your mind, you can start to get your swarm rankings.
I see what
together.
You're doing. You're priming the pump here. You're trying to like. It's like you're forcing a card as a magician or
like
something.
Like I'm.
Yeah.
The Will Anderson card.
Before you decide on who your favorite player is, here's seven awesome clips of Will Anderson.
The swarmiest player on the team. Yeah. Will Anderson met with. I just love listening to Will Anderson. He met
it's,
with.
It is. It's contagious. His enthusiasm.
He is a delight.
It's an enthusiasm unknown to man.
It is. It is indeed. Will Anderson Jr. Talking about just. The culture of the team, how excited he is about the postseason.
It's just been a blessing this year just to be around so many new people because Mario Edwards, he has been in the league for 10 years, and this is only second year being in the Super Bowl, being in the playoffs. So, like, I've been blessed enough to be in the league 2 years already and be in two playoffs myself. So, like, we want to keep this thing rolling. Like, we're going to keep the culture rolling, keep getting the right guys in here, and just growing as a, you know, as an organization. And I think this year it really showed that. And, like, I tell you, like, what Joe said, like, let the cherish this moment and embrace it and really step into it fully.
That's interesting. The you know
Joe Mixon or Joe Montana?
Joe. Just Joe. Yeah.
Joe Mixon said that.
Yeah. So, I think this just popped into my head as he's saying that. You know, hey, man, I've been in the league 2 years and already I get to go to the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this, I know that there's people listening that were hoping they'd be the one or two seed. They are in the playoffs. They are in the postseason.
Yeah.
You were a young player who was on a good team.
Exactly like that. Yeah. And you get those same speeches. The guy Will cited was Mario Edwards, who's this is only his second time in the playoffs, I believe.
Yes. That's what he said.
And he's been in the league for a decade or however long. You get that speech from the older guys.
Did you listen when they said it to
you? I listened, and you know it intellectually, but you don't feel it. Right. You know, it's like anything else in life when a young person's they hear the message, but you don't feel it, you know, and especially Will. Now, Will knows of high level football is going to the playoffs in college,
and they went to the non playoff Sugar Bowl or whatever it was, and that was like the most that was the most disappointing game he played in the postseason.
I think, honestly, gosh, I almost get a little teary as I start to talk about this. For a guy like Will, I think the way he's wired. I think what you really feel when you're hearing that speech, especially from guys who have been like one of the veteran players I was with was Jeff Lagerman, who was a Jets first round pick back in the day, you know. And I don't remember him being on any of the good Jets teams. Mm-hmm. That you know, you almost feel an obligation to do it for those guys.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man, I'm lucky and this is awesome, but man, I really want to do it for this guy. Like Mario, how many years does Mario Edwards have left? How many years does they got five guys in that defensive line room that are 30 years old.
Janico Autry, Jerry Hughes.
Jerry Hughes, yeah.
Jerry Hughes is like 90.
Yeah,
you know?
That you kind of, you know, and Will's wired that way. He probably feels like a sense of obligation to get those guys.
I guarantee
deep
you
into
he
playoffs.
Does. That's a great point. I guarantee you he does because he's the only young guy really in that. You know, they brought in, well, even Togiai that they brought in has been in the league 5 or 6 years on a bunch of teams. You know, he's. By far, like, he's the young guy in that room. I bet he does.
Like, wanting to do something nice for your parents in retirement.
That's right. Or Danielle Hunter. Will was asked about this. How has Danielle Hunter helped you this year?
Me and Danielle, it's a great balance. I'm more of a, like, calm down. And he's more of, like, a relaxed reserve. And, like, when I look at him, he helps my demeanor just calm down. Because he's like, bro, I'm good. Like, it's going to come. Like, I'm not worried. Like, that's one thing I can really take from him. Like, he's really been able to be my, like, my cool down, like, bro, you just got to keep stacking. You just got to keep going. So that's one thing I would say I've taken from him this season.
The cool down factor. Yeah, I was reading a story about why everything unraveled in New England. And one of the theories is that Jerod Mayo had too many guys that were first time coaches on his staff.
Yeah.
Or at least first time NFL coaches.
A ton.
Yeah. And there's a certain thing to be said for, yes, the X's and O's experience and wisdom is great, but there's also that, man. Like, the same reason these Silicon Valley types like to have hire a few older people who can kind of, like, tamp things down a little bit. And, you know, kind of be a heat check for when guys get too emotional or too over the top. That dynamic is probably really good for Will. I actually thought of, there's a old Texans coach, Chick Harris, who's a running backs coach with Dom Capers.
Great name.
Who's an awesome guy.
Chick Harris.
And he's in hospice right now. And I was doing a video to send to him. And I realized as I was listening to Will Anderson talk about that dynamic with Danielle Hunter, I'm like, oh yeah, that was Chick Harris with me, and he was a running backs coach. But I talked to him a lot, and he was in the cafeteria
really cool.
And everything. And he was one of these guys that had been in the league a long time and just had like this calm, cool, and collected demeanor to him.
Yeah.
That when times are tough, and there were some tough times with those early Texans teams, he calmed me down and kind of puts perspective on things. And like, you need guys like that in an organization. He was like, Chick Harris was an example for me of like, oh yeah, things don't have to be dire. Like, no, it doesn't. Everything is not, every crisis is not actually a crisis.
That's interesting.
You can just settle the hell down. You know?
How did that, what's interesting to me is it not only was he was a position coach on the opposite side of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, how did that come about? Like,
conversations and just hanging out before a meeting. You know,
you could just tell. Talking
I was always
guy.
10 minutes early to a meeting, and Chick Harris was always 10 minutes early to a meeting. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
we're just sitting in the cafeteria. No, I'm glad you brought up that element of it though too, because it's not just on your side of the ball. If you have a genuine team, it's everybody. You're talking to guys from all sides of the ball, and it's not just the X's and O's. It's the approach to life.
That's what got brought up quite a bit during Aziz Alshire's suspension.
Yeah,
not during it, but like when he came back.
Like what they missed in his leadership.
It was like CJ was talking about it. You know, like he and CJ, you could tell if you were out of practice every day, like we were. You could see that the two of them were forming a bond, mm-hmm. talking after practice. Going through things, what did Aziz see out there? What did CJ see out there? And then just the general leadership. Like Aziz he's an exceptional leader as well. And I don't think a lot of people realize that he's not allowed on campus during a suspension.
Right, yeah. He's not allowed in the building or anywhere. The coaches aren't allowed to contact him.
Yeah, and I think it matters.
That was one of Casario's objections to the way the process is.
Yes.
It's like, okay, these are guys that, like, especially in Aziz's situation where it felt like the whole world was coming down on him, that you'd like to be able to support them.
The mental health aspect of it. Yeah, totally. Like, even just little thing. Like, it was a big deal yesterday to guys, I guess Tank Dell and Jalen Petrie were both at practice yesterday. Like, Jalen's been, like, super plugged in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know incrementally, like, how that helped.
Total of everything. It's a whole synergistic part of it. You know? And that's hard to do. Like, it honestly, that's more of a compliment to Jalen Petrie than you might realize, because it's when you're not actually involved in the game planning and you're not going to play in that game, and when you're also rehabbing, like, you got to make extra effort to be involved with everything else, because you're doing rehab. Like, they have the guys that are on IR do rehab separately from everybody else because of time management and everything.
Yep.
So it's a committed effort. It's not just like, hey, I'm here, might as well hang out. It's like you gotta actually put some energy into it.
One more from Will Anderson. How has your leadership style evolved this season?
I think that's one thing D'Amico had challenged me on, just being more vocal and using my voice. And today when I broke it down, I was just saying, like, you know, Derek Barnett, we coach asked us to go around the room in our position meetings and say, like, our playoff experience. And, you know, Derek Barnett's been blessed enough to win a Super Bowl. And he was just saying, like, all those things, like, physical, like, yeah, but it was just mentally. So I just reiterated that to the team and wanted to repeat that, because that's really all it is with our team. Just, like, we got to be mentally sharp. Like, we got to be mentally sound. And there's no room for errors.
All right, yeah. I guess he broke the team down yesterday at practice, Will did.
Mm-hmm.
That was the genesis of that question.
When Will was talking about how enthusiastic he is and how sometimes he needs to tamp it down, I just thought about what would it be like with Will Anderson on a Jim Harbaugh team? Or just those two fishing. Like, what it must be like.
That would be amazing.
I would worry for Jim Harbaugh's health. I feel like he might have an aneurysm. He'd get worked up. It'd be just those two getting enthusiastic about stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the boat might tip
I've never
over.
Seen a bass like that. That's the most incredible bass I've ever seen.
The boat might I feel like the two of them would just rock the boat back and forth just to see how close they could get to tipping it over without capsizing.
Yeah, the danger of capsizing would be huge.
Yes, yes.